Hey fam, great to see you this morning. Well, as you heard, we are launching a new series today called You Can Change. And you probably want some kind of change in your life this morning. Maybe it's in your character, maybe it's in your relationships, maybe it's in your circumstances. Like for me, in high school, I had great plans for change in my life. What I wanted most to change in high school for me was to dunk a basketball. I had high ambitions as a teen, and I was serious about it. So I did exercises to build up my calves and thighs. I practiced jumping every day. I even ordered these things called jump soles. Now, back then, never had Amazon, so the way you had to do things was you mail something in, you wait a few weeks, and then sometimes you have to wait months for a package to arrive. Now, how did we survive, right? Some of us have no idea. How to survive that kind of thing. But in those days, you had to wait a long time. So I waited. They finally came in. So I put on these jump soles, and they slipped onto your feet. And they look like reverse high heels. And basically, you just jump around in them, and they're supposed to build up your calf muscles. So I did that. Day after day, I was practicing and training. And at the end of it, I couldn't dunk a basketball. I was so bummed out. I didn't see the change that I wanted. But here's the thing, as I thought about change in my life, I realized what I really wanted wasn't to dunk a basketball. What I really wanted was others to admire me. What I really wanted was to feel good about myself. The change that I was seeking wasn't outward change. It really was in here. It was inward. Because that's where real change begins. It begins in our hearts, in our character, in our nature. And that's something that we cannot change on our own. But the good news is that God can. He can change you from the inside so that you live differently on the outside. Maybe this morning, the change that you're hoping for is to grow as a receiver of God's grace. Maybe you struggle with receiving God's blessings in your life. You feel like that you need to do good to others, that you need to attend church in order to earn God's love and receive his blessings, even though we could never earn God's grace. Or maybe what you're seeking is transformation in how you deal with anger. Maybe you have a reputation in the workplace or in your family of just blowing up at other people. Because deep down, you want control over people in the workplace. Or maybe you want peace in your home. Even though you know that only God controls everything. Even though you know that only God can give you the peace that you really need. Or maybe you want to see change this morning in what you want, in your desires. Maybe you find yourself wanting stuff more than wanting to know Jesus. You get more excited about your next purchase more than spending time with God. Maybe you think more about the newest technology rather than serving others. Maybe your phone or your game controller is longer in your hands than your Bible. And you want to grow as a worshiper of Jesus. And maybe some of us, right, we've been struggling with a particular sin or a bad habit for a long time. And you might say to others, yeah, I believe God can change me, but deep down inside, what you really believe is you'll never change. But the good news is you can change. Not because you have the willpower or the ability to do so, but because God can change you. To change you to become more like his son, Jesus. And this change, it's not like a New Year's resolution that lasts for a few weeks or months. But it is lifelong. It's until the day that we stand before Jesus. That is God's plan for his kids. And God always follows through with his plans. It may not be the way that we want or expect. It may not be in the timetable that we're looking for. But you will change if you are in Christ. And that's ultimately why we launched this 2-year discipleship journey as a church. And that's why we're launching this new series this morning. Because until the day that God brings us home, he is working in and through us, one step at a time, making us more like his son, Jesus, so that we would enjoy Jesus more, so that we would share Jesus more with others, so that we would influence the world. So my question for us as we launch this series is, do you want to see real change in your life. Change that brings lasting joy and deeper fruitfulness. Well, the Apostle Peter, he's going to speak about this change in his letter. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and meet me in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we got hardback ones under the chairs. If you don't own a Bible, go ahead and take that Bible home. That's our gift from us to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 begins, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So Simon, better known as Peter, he was one of Jesus' disciples and one of his close friends. And in this letter, he's encouraging a group of Christians to grow in their faith. He's warning them against false teaching. And he's also calling them to wait with anticipation and to wait with perseverance for their Lord Jesus' return. Now, Peter, he wasn't always a follower of Jesus. And we're reminded of that in the beginning of this letter. Notice how Peter introduces himself. He doesn't only give the name that Jesus gave him, which is Peter, but he states his original name, Simon. It's a common name, but it's a reminder of Peter's life before he encountered Jesus, before Jesus changed his life. If you doubt that God can change your life, here's the first reason why we can expect change. It's look at the people that God transforms. Look at the people he changes. If there's someone who couldn't change, if there's someone who was disqualified from receiving change from God, right, Peter's got to be high up there on the list. Think about how many mistakes Peter made. Think about how many character flaws Peter had. He often said the wrong thing at the wrong time. Like when he was up on the mountain with Jesus and then Moses and Elijah appeared before them, instead of just being in awe of the moment, Peter had to open his mouth and he had to say, man, let's make this a camping experience. Let's set up some tents. And God the Father, he had to step in and pretty much say to Peter, Peter, stop talking, right? Take this moment in. Right? This, listen to my son. Right? Peter said the wrong thing at the wrong time. Peter often fought to be first in line. He and the other disciples got into arguments over who would be the greatest among them. Peter was also a pretty violent guy. When Jesus was arrested and the temple guards came, it was Peter who drew out a sword and cut off the ear of one of them. But maybe worse than that, after claiming that Peter would die for Jesus, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. When things got real, Peter, he straight up ditched his best friend when Jesus got arrested. But it doesn't stop there. Who else did Jesus directly call Satan? When Jesus was sharing with his disciples God's plan that Jesus would be betrayed, he'd suffer, be crucified, and then rise again 3 days later, Peter tried to get in the way of God's plan. Peter thought he had a better plan. And Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan. Wait, we probably got called names growing up, probably all of us have, but has anyone ever called you Satan? Now, maybe some of us say, yeah. Yeah, my teacher called me the devil one time. But, did Jesus ever call you Satan, right? That's Peter. And despite Peter's sins and Peter's failures, God transformed this selfish, scared fisherman into a bold, humble disciple who had laid down his life for Jesus. Peter, who selfishly wanted to be the greatest apostle, here in the letter, as he begins it, calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Right? He's no longer repping himself. He's representing Jesus. So if God can change this man's life, then God can change your life. You're not too far for God to save. Do you believe that? I think we can often put ourselves in categories that are outside of God's reach. Maybe we experience past hurt, past trauma, childhood pain, and that because of those experiences, we might think that we're too hurt to be healed, right? And if that's us, right, God sees, and he has such great compassion, but also he has the power to change. Or maybe it's present pain or it's current struggles with sin where you feel overwhelmed, maybe you feel guilty. And we struggle to believe that God wants to transform us because we feel far from God. So what we do, we end up putting ourselves in a special category, a category that is outside of God's ability to change and heal and transform. We'll say, oh yeah, God can heal anybody. He can heal you. He can change you. But for me, I'm in a special circumstance. He can't really change me. But see, God, he didn't put us in those categories. We're the ones who put us there. And if God didn't put us there, then that's good news. Because if God can change a person like Peter, and Peter's category was Satan, being called Satan, then God can change our lives. So you can expect change because of the people who God changes. But second, we can also expect change because of our faith. Because of our faith. Let's look at the second half of verse 1. To those who have received a faith equal to ours, through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, maybe when you think about Peter, you think, well, of course Peter is qualified to be changed. I mean, look at Peter's life. Right? Some people thought Peter was the first pope. Right? But Peter, he was a disciple, an apostle, and a missionary. And so we might think, well, of course God would change his life. Look how much Peter did for God. But Peter, he was used powerfully by God, not because he was so awesome, but because Jesus is so awesome. Peter says that it was the righteousness of the God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And like Peter, we have been made right before God because of Jesus. That our status with God has changed from rejected to accepted. It's changed from criminal against God to son and daughter of God because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, which we received through faith in him. And that faith is a gift that we also receive. Peter's saying here that we are receivers of a faith equal to his. In other words, Peter, he doesn't have special status with God. A while ago, when I first got my Sam's Club membership, I remember I noticed some people were getting into the store early. And I wanted to get in too early, but they didn't let me in. And that's when I learned that there are two statuses. Just like Costco, one membership, right, gave you early access, one membership didn't. And so people got in there before me. They were members just like me, but they had a special status. Peter's saying, I don't have a special status with God. I'm not a super saint. He received a faith that is the same kind as us, is equal. We've got the same kind of access to God that Peter had. Peter took advantage of it. Imagine if someone gave you a bank card with $1 trillion to spend on it. Right, what would you buy? How would you live? Who would you bless? Right, your life would probably look a lot different with $1 trillion. But what if someone looked at you straight in the eye and said, nah, there's only $20 on that thing. Right, your life wouldn't change much. Maybe you'd use it to buy a snack. Maybe you'd use it to bless somebody else. You'd pay for part of a plate lunch with it, right? But your life, it wouldn't change very much, all because you believed a lie. Right, family, we could be believing that lie, that these super saints like Peter, like Paul, like Mary received a premium faith while we received a $20 one. And Peter's saying, no. That same faith working powerfully in me is the same faith working in you. Now, our lives are going to look different from Peter's because God has given us a unique plan for our lives. But the same power that turned a selfish, self-absorbed man into one of the authors of the New Testament, that same God working in Peter is the same God working in you. That's why we can expect change. Here's the third reason. We can expect change as we think about God's provision for us. Look at verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. God has given us everything we need to live life for Him. And you have everything you need to grow to be more like Jesus. God didn't save you from your sin and then send you out empty-handed. He promised to be with you and to fill you with His unlimited power. So that means your fight against selfishness in your life is met with God's overflowing generosity. Your struggle with anxiety is met with God's perfect peace. Your experience with physical, emotional, mental pain is met with God's power and with God's comfort. And here's how we got it. Peter says that the blessings in our lives, that the peace in us, we receive that through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He's saying we received it through knowledge. Now, this is not the intellectual knowledge that comes from doing an AI search on God. It's not something you receive from a 10-second soundbite on social media. Like, this knowledge is relational. It's knowing someone personally, and because of that, you'll never be the same. It's the difference between reading a biography of a family member and living life every day with that person. It is life-changing knowledge. Like when I got married. As a bachelor, I barely ate vegetables. I tolerated lettuce in my burger. I love my pickles, but that was about it. But when I got married, you know, at first Trisha used to sneak vegetables in our food. So I'd be eating my spaghetti. What is this green stuff in the spaghetti? I'll be eating some chili. Oh, this tastes kind of different. Right? But after a while, after eating vegetables, I began to appreciate them. I began to enjoy them, and now I eat them all the time. That is life-changing knowledge in relationship. You're different because of that partnership. And not only do your actions change because of it, but your desires, your appetite for it changes as well. And that started when you first surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King. You know, maybe this morning for some of us, we started attending church because we wanted to start the new year in a positive way. Maybe you want to change in your life. And if this is your first time at a church, we're so glad that you're here. And there's a place for you here at Harbor. But the change that Peter is talking about, the change that we're really looking for, it's only possible when we're a receiver of God's grace, a receiver of Jesus' sacrifice. Because we could never do it on our own. We need to admit that we could not change our lives out of our own willpower or strength. That's why Jesus came, to bring the change that we could not bring ourselves. That through His death and resurrection, He made a way to return to God the Father and to receive a new power to be more like Christ. If you never trusted in Jesus, today is the day to do it. Today's the day to receive His love, His forgiveness, and His rule over your life, and His power to change. So don't pass up this opportunity. God will give you everything you need to change and become more like His Son. And so here's the fourth reason why we can expect change, is think about God's purpose for you. When it comes to change in our lives, we can have different motivations behind changing, different reasons why we want to change. Maybe for some of us, we want to change to prove ourselves to God. Maybe we think that, you know, if we love our spouse more, God will approve of us more, and it will make our marriage easier. If we start doing more good, then God will accept us and bless us more. If we live pure, then God will give us the spouse we've been praying for. If we're a good student, God will give us get us into the school we think we deserve. If we let a car go before us, God will give us that parking stall in front of the entrance of that store, right? But the good news is God, He fully accepts us and He fully blesses us because of Jesus. So we don't have to prove ourselves to God. God blesses us because of Jesus, because we could never earn God's blessings and His grace. Or maybe, so for some of us, our motivation to change is to prove ourselves to others, right? You want maybe your friends or your coworkers or family members to be impressed by you. You want them to accept you, so you'll change how you talk, you'll change how you dress, you'll change how you act. Maybe you wear a mask around certain people and pretend to be someone you're not in order to prove yourself to other people. Or maybe your motivation to change is to prove yourself to yourself, right? Maybe we want to feel better about ourselves. Or maybe we have certain guilty feelings from our past, and we think that if we do enough good, those guilty feelings will go away, right? Maybe we want to have a good image, right? None of us want to be known as an angry parent, an unfaithful spouse, an unsuccessful employee, or a lazy student, right? We don't want to let ourselves down. But all of these reasons to change, right, to prove ourselves to God, to prove ourselves to others, to prove ourselves to ourselves, all these reasons focus on ourselves and not on God. And those motivations don't give the lasting change and don't give the power to change that we're truly seeking. Only God can. And so Peter tells us God's purpose, God's reason for changing us. Look at the second half of verse 3. It says, to the knowledge of him who called us, and here it is, by his glory, his own glory, and his own goodness. By these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that's in the world because of evil desire. So he called you because of his goodness and his glory. In other words, you can and will change because he is good. He's good. If our discipleship journey was dependent on how good we could be, we would all disqualify ourselves before we even started that journey. But God's purpose for us to be in his family has everything to do with his goodness and kindness towards us. Because God, he loves to rescue and save the lost. He loves to repair the broken. He loves to set free those who are captive because of sin. He takes us who are dead in our sin and made us alive in Jesus because he is good. And he gets the glory and he gets the praise for it. That's the reason why we should seek change in our lives. And then Peter tells us how that change happens, right? It's by sharing in God's divine nature. Now, that doesn't mean we become gods. That means we share in God's likeness. And that really goes back to God's original plan when he created human beings. He created us in his image. But sin messed up that image. Jesus came to redeem that image. And now that he's adopted us into his family, we can now live out that image. Since the Spirit lives in us, he will bear his fruit. He will bear his characteristics in us. So you should expect to see love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control grow in your life. And God gave us his Spirit that guarantees that we will change, to make us more and more like Jesus and less like how we used to live, how we used to chase after power and pleasure and wealth like the rest of the world. And we still struggle with that, right? But Jesus rescued us. He gave us a new purpose. And if that is his plan, it will happen. So the question is, how do we then respond to this good news? How do we participate in the good work that God is doing in and through us until the day of Christ Jesus? Well, Peter, he tells us in verse 4. He says, by these he has given us very great and precious promises. So it starts first by being a receiver of God's grace, and then by being learners of God's promises. Growing as a learner is one of the six areas that we want to grow in as complete disciples, because it's through God's word and by the power of his Spirit that we experience change. It's through his great and precious promises that we grow to be more like Jesus. It's these promises that strengthen us when life gets hard. It's these promises that shape our values and our decisions. And it's these promises that provide direction in our relationships, direction in our work. Now, when it comes to the promises of God, there are many, because God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us so much. But I want us to focus on three types of promises this morning to be learners in. The first type is this, is be learners in who God is. Learn who God is. Throughout the Bible, God reveals to us what he is like. For example, he is powerful. Right back in verse 3, his power gives us everything that we need for life and godliness, to become more like Jesus. And so don't stop at just knowing intellectually, okay, God is powerful, but then dig into your Bibles and see what that actually means. Read the stories in Scripture and let God's power grab you. Start at the beginning, where God spoke and he created the heavens and the earth, and creation came alive. And then when you leave church this morning, marvel at his creation. Look at the Pacific Ocean that surrounds us. God made that with his power. Remind yourself of verses like Isaiah 40:12. Isaiah 40:12 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand?" Right? God measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. Now, what is a hollow? I didn't know, so I had to look it up, right? So, you know when you were a kid, right, and you were really thirsty, you didn't have a water bottle, you didn't have a water fountain by you, but you had a sink. So you got your hand, you put your hand under the sink. I don't know if you guys did this, I did this. And then you drink from your hand. That water that accumulates in the center of your hand, that is called the hollow of your hand. It's that little spot in the middle of your palm that collects water. And here's the thing, Isaiah is saying God is so big, he is so powerful, that all the waters fit right there. So when you see the ocean today, think all that water fits in the hollow of God's palm. And then I want to encourage you to think about your biggest obstacle to change in your life. And then compare it to how big God is. In fact, I want us to do that right now. Just between you and God, I want you to think. Think about your biggest problem right now. And then think about how great and powerful God is, who holds the waters in the hollow of his hand. And then see how that transforms how you view your problem. Take a couple seconds just to think about that. His power. His power in your life. Let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you for your promises. You hold the waters and measure them in the hollow of your hand. May we see life. May we see what we consider as problems in our lives through the lens of your awesome power and your goodness towards us. It's in Christ's name we pray. So when you see the ocean today, right, remember how powerful God is. But not only that, when you leave church today, look at the Ko'olau Mountains. Or if you're heading west side, look at the Waianae Range. And remind yourself of Psalm 97:5, which reads, "The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth." Right? God is so powerful that he doesn't need to touch the mountain in order for the mountain to melt. His presence alone melts it, like fire melts the wax of a candle. That is real power. Right? Your God, who holds the oceans in the hollow of his hand, who melts mountains with his presence, that power is available to you. In other words, you can change. You can overcome your pride with humility, your anxiety with trust, your unrighteous anger with peace and godly passion. You have the power to love the most challenging person in your life right now. Maybe it's that coworker who's always clout chasing. Maybe it's that family member who's always complaining. You have the power to endure whatever physical, emotional, mental suffering you're facing right now. You have the power to influence your one more to Jesus. When you read your Bible, be learners of who God is, his power, his compassion, his generosity. Be in awe of the stories that you read. Then believe who God promised him to be, and then act on it. And here's what I want to encourage is don't be learners in isolation. Be on the journey with others. And that's why we have community groups, which are relaunching next month, because not only can you learn and be inspired by your own Bible reading, but then you can also learn from others, and others can also learn from you. So don't forget on your way out to stop by the lobby and check out our community group cards. Learn who God is. Second area I want to encourage us is to be learners in who you are. In verse 3, Peter tells us that we have been called by God. That's who we are. But what does it mean that we are called by God? Romans 8:1-8 tells us that we've been called to belong to Jesus. We belong to his family. That is who we are. And we can learn more about being children of God by digging into God's word. That we were made in God's image to know him and to influence others to him. That we've been adopted into his family so we never have to feel alone. And that we are co-heirs with Christ. And since Jesus rules everything and owns everything, we don't have to live with a poverty mindset. Instead, we can be givers to others. Right, the good news about our identity is we don't have to create our own. We don't have to find ourselves or discover our identity on our own. We've been given a new identity in Christ. That's one of the reasons why we're launching Sunday seminars starting next month. At these seminars, you'll learn about who you are in Christ. Take a look at this graphic that we have up on the screen. That we are receivers, that we're learners, that we're givers, that we're workers, we're influencers, and we're worshipers. And our Sunday seminars will focus on each of these six discipleship areas. So if your next step is to grow as an influencer, we've got a seminar for you. If your next step is to grow as a learner, we've got a seminar for you. Maybe your next step in your discipleship journey with Jesus is to sign up for one of these seminars. Because these seminars will help you live out who you are in light of who God is. So learn who God is, learn who you are, and then third, learn your purpose. Learn what God has called you to. See, God, he didn't rescue us from our sin and then put us on a shelf like a trophy. No, he rescued us to live out his adventure that he has for us, to discover the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to walk in. And Peter sheds light into this plan in verse 4. He says that we are sharers in the divine nature to escape the corruption in this world. In other words, God's purpose for us is to be more like his son Jesus. Sharing in the divine nature is growing in the characteristics of Christ. That we would think like Jesus, that we would love like Jesus, that we would act like Jesus, so that we can influence others to Jesus. And God's word teaches us about these purposes. But that's going to require the divine power of Jesus. And God promises us that his purposes for us, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So that doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing since God's going to accomplish it. We don't let go and let God. Maybe you heard that popular phrase before. Instead, as one popular pastor put it, we don't let go and let God. Instead, we trust God and get going. And that's really what our two-year discipleship journey is about. We're not waiting passively for Jesus' return. We want to trust God and get going. We want to see every single person who calls Harbor their home to identify their next step in following Jesus and then get going. And if this is your first time at Harbor and you're wondering, did I miss the boat? No, you came at the right time. You're in with us on the journey. But then we're to get going because he's given us everything that we need. And God says in Philippians 1:6 that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God's purposes for you to change and to become more like Jesus, it's going to happen. So then let that promise be fuel to encourage you to learn God's promises, believe God's promises, and then live out those promises. And that's what we'll be exploring as we go through this series together. But as we pursue change in our lives, it's crucial to remember these beginning verses from Peter. because he's telling us that we have everything we need for transformation. And it's been given to us freely in Christ through his death and resurrection. Maybe this morning you've been a Christian for some time and you've tried change. And maybe every year, right, you get excited for change. But after a few weeks, you kind of fall back into your old habits. Or maybe for some of us, we recently became a Christian. Yet you can't seem to shake that sin that you keep committing in your lives. So you're doubtful that God is really committed to see you change. Maybe you worry that God's going to leave you like an unfinished project. And if that's you this morning, if you doubt and question God's commitment to change you, I want to encourage you to look at the cross. That's how committed he is to change you. Romans 8:32 says, he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will we not also with him grant us everything? And that everything includes change in your life. He is committed to you. And that is where our hope ultimately lies. So family, how should we respond then to such an amazing gift? It's to worship Jesus. It's to give glory to Jesus. We're going to go ahead and do that right now. Will you pray with me? Father, we worship you. We just think about the riches that you've given us in Christ. Jesus, we worship you. You offered your life as a ransom for many. Holy Spirit, we worship you. You live in us, producing the fruit that lasts. We rest in your promises, and then we want to get going in this great adventure that you have each of us on. As you transform us from glory to glory, as we behold Jesus in our lives. May we enjoy Jesus, and may we reflect him to others. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen.